I'm Jackie Leiden. Michelle Martin is away. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, are you planning a holiday party as if you hadn't had enough? We'll tell you the music to put in your iPod to keep your guests entertained, and that is coming up. But first, thinking back over the last year, Tell Me More decided to make a list of some of the most fascinating people of 2007. They're ranked in no particular order, just people who caught the staff's attention. Michelle Martin caught up with her first fascinating person who calls the plays in the sports arena.
Now, when most people think of Hawaii, they think of an amazing vacation spot filled with white sand, beaches, fiery volcanoes, and amazing sunsets. But this year, Hawaii's football team has been grabbing the headlines. For the first time in team history, the University of Hawaii Warriors have gone undefeated, and they've won their first ever appearance in the Bowl Championship Series. On New Year's Day, they'll take on the Georgia Bulldogs in the Sugar Bowl. Joining me now to talk about the Warriors' amazing accomplishment and the impact it's had on Hawaii is Bobby Curran, who calls the games on ESPN's Hawaii affiliate and has been doing so for 17 years. Welcome. Thanks for speaking with us, and congrats.
Aloha, Michelle.
And aloha to you. So tell us a little bit more about the season and what has made it so special.
Well, the chances of going undefeated in this modern era in football are incredibly remote to begin with. For a team from Hawaii that's some 2,500 miles off the California coast, to do so with very limited resources, certainly when you compare it to the big SEC programs like their opponent on New Year's Day, the University of Georgia, I think makes it almost nearly miraculous. They have done it with a collection of players that were not highly recruited by the so-called big-name schools, but it's an unusual team. They have a quarterback from California, that it was a Heisman Trophy, second runner-up, I guess is the way you'd put it. He finished third in the balloting behind Tim Tebow. And you have a roster that is almost 60% Polynesian, and it's a group of people that have come together and have an unusual belief system in each other, and it's produced fantastic results.
And it's also, I think, kind of special for the University of Hawaii fans because – how can I put this nicely? This team used to stink, right?
Well, when June Jones took over in 1999, they had come off an 0-12 season. Editorials in the Honolulu Advertiser calling for them to downgrade, either drop football entirely or to move down to, say, Division III, a level of competition. The feeling was Hawaii was just unable to compete, certainly on a national level, and maybe unable to compete even in the Western Athletic Conference. And I think that June Jones had the all-time best turnaround record in college football in 1999 when the team went 9-4 and won a bowl game. That started it.
June Jones, of course, being the coach.
Yes, I'm sorry. June Jones is the head football coach, yeah.
How'd he do it?
Well, I think June Jones is unusual in that he has a very strong vision of what the program should be. And I think his particular talent is selling that vision to the players. I mean, he's got this 110 players convinced that they're absolutely unbeatable if they will stick to the things that they have practiced and if they will execute them when the bright lights come on.
Forgive me for not knowing this, but is football big in Hawaii?
Football is big in Hawaii, and particularly in some of the areas, like in Kahuku High School, which is on the north shore of Hawaii. People are familiar with the Banzai Pipeline, but there is also a huge Polynesian community. And while it's a small high school, Kahuku High School produces an incredible number of Division I football players. Football's important culturally there. A lot of times a player will have a father who played and his father before him played. In many cases, it will be the signature achievement having played in, say, a Hawaii Prep Bowl or state championship. So it really does have a generational connection in Hawaii.
You know, we think of Texas as being like football town, and of course places like, you know, Pittsburgh, some of the old industrial mm-hmm. cities. Football is a way of life. It's also a way for people to make it who don't necessarily have other ways to make it. And I just wondered if football is like that for some kids in Hawaii.
You know, with the exception that I don't see the level of ambition, I think some of the Polynesians view this as a terrific way to extend their family value. But I don't see the rush for bling the way you get in American urban areas, where I think the where the driving thrust is, I want to be like Mike. I want to have, you know, I want to have 24 Ferraris. You just don't see that in Polynesian culture. And because that's such a, even when a player makes it, the sharing with the rest of the family is an integral part of the success. I just don't see it as in quite the individualized terms that you would find it, say, on the American mainland.
Okay, I appreciate your point on this, but I think you're being a little unfair to some of these kids in the American mainland. I think for some of these kids, they just want to buy their mother a house. Okay?
Michelle, I wish in a perfect world how true that would be. And I'm not saying it's not, it doesn't apply but ever, but I do think it's a bit more commercialized, it's individualized. American society, when you get a football player, he has to overcome that cultural value of the individual striving. When you get a Polynesian kid who is successful, it's a very natural situation to be moving in a group process.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, I think there's a distinction to be made.
A lot of attention this year has been given to the team's quarterback, Colt Brennan. I'm not being mean, but does that bother people at all that the star isn't from Hawaii, isn't a native Hawaiian?
I think that Colt Brennan's unique personality characteristics have made him the most popular sports figure in the history of the state of Hawaii.
Really?
When he announced he was coming back to school as a senior, he had had some trouble while at the University of Colorado, and this has been pretty well documented, made a bad decision, and was actually convicted of a felony for trespassing and for burglary. And the trespassing was entering a room, a student room without invitation, and burglary for not leaving the room in a timely fashion. So while those things had caused him some trouble, including 5 nights in jail, he had determined to turn his life around. And when he came to Hawaii and had a great year, announced he was coming back last year, and in the press conference, he said, "I like the person I'm becoming in Hawaii." He endeared himself to the population of Hawaii like no other athlete ever has.
Well, that's a great story. Do you think that, I don't know, I have to ask. I mean, they're going to play the Georgia Bulldogs, a well-funded, well-equipped team. They've only lost 2 games this season. How do you take the odds for the Warriors? What do you think?
Well, I think the University of Georgia has a greater number of skilled athletes, but the University of Hawaii has something going for it in terms of faith and belief and the wonderful ability to play for each other. I'm not counting this team out. I think one of the reasons that the Polynesian players have lent themselves so well to football, I think extended family cultural values apply very well to the game of football, in which you really have to sublimate yourself to the group. And this bunch has done it in a spectacular fashion.
Well, thank you. Bobby Curran, aloha.
Aloha and mahalo, Michelle.
And thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks much. Aloha.
Bobby Curran, he's been calling college games on ESPN's Hawaii affiliate for 17 years.